we're finished today, hopefully you understand what that is, and you'll understand the consequences of it. Alternative with friendship with God, I'd like you to look at the picture on the screen below that, and that's the picture that's the closest one I could find to the alternative. Friendship with God produces Matthew 22:36-38. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said what? Say it, please. This is the great commandment. And if you have a friendship with God, you have that kind of relationship where He is number one. You love Him with all your heart. And when I spoke to you 2 weeks ago, we talked about friendship with God. And guess what? It doesn't happen immediately. It's not one thing you can say, oh, I'm going to be a friend with God today. You know the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 of them had oil and 5 of them didn't. This is the oil. And it comes through the Holy Spirit, that love. And there's coming a time when we won't be able to find that love. Because there won't be enough time. Because it takes time. And if you want to have a relationship with God, when is the time to start? When? And if you do not have that kind of intimate relationship with Him, it's time that you start at least considering, we have some time now. We bet we should make use of it, don't you think? The results of sin, Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have made a what? Between you and your God, and your sins have what? Hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Separation. Where have we gone? Isaiah 58:11. The dogs are greedy, they are not satisfied, and they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to what? What? Each to his unjust gain to the last one. Ezekiel 33:17. Let your fellow citizens say, the way of the Lord is not right, when it is what? Their own way that is not right. Where have we gone? We have gone our own way. How many are going their own way? Now, we're told not to judge, but in a church now with about 100 people in here, think about Jesus' words. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads where? And there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. This friendship with God, as important as it is, how many are finding it? According to Jesus, few there be that find it. Where are we headed? Isaiah 5:8-9. Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there's no more room, so that you have to what? Live alone in the midst of the land. In my ears, the Lord of hosts has sworn, surely many houses shall become what? Desolate, and even great and fine ones, without occupants. We are headed toward loneliness, toward aloneness. Now, Jesus took the punishment for our sins. Isaiah 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have everyone turned to his own way. Turned what? To his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What happened to Jesus? 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself what? Bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. 1 John 2:2. And he himself is the what? Propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. 1 John 4:10. In this And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. You know what that word propitiation means? If you're not sure, okay. Propitiation. The closest word is atonement, to bring us back into oneness with him. He died as a propitiation to be the go-between, to stand in place, in our place, to pay our penalty. And what was that penalty? Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, as I studied for this sermon this week, I saw something I had never seen. And several times as I was studying, it brought tears to my eyes just to think about it. Now, let's review the text in our minds we just saw. Where are most people going? Okay, but how are they getting there? They're going what way? They're going their own way, right? They made up their own minds. They're doing what they want to do, and they're going their own way. And where's that leading? Yes, it's leading to destruction, but separation. And this is what I saw. I saw something that is going to happen to everyone who does not develop a relationship with him. What I saw is total and complete separation from God and from everyone. Do you think we know what that's like? I don't think we have a clue what that's like. No matter what our religious affiliation, whether we're atheist or whether we hate God, we are still living in his presence, aren't we? He is present on this earth. After Adam and Eve fell, he put enmity in our hearts. He is present every day. Now, we're told his spirit is being withdrawn, but his presence is still here. Jesus, I present to you, Jesus Christ is the only living being ever that's ever been totally separated from God. Nobody else has been separate from God in the way he was. And you know what it did to him? He sweat great drops of blood. And it's interesting, if you think about it, here, are we talking about just a man, or are we talking about a human being that's eternal? If I feel pain, if somebody cuts my hand, if it gets bad enough, you know what I do? I faint. When pain gets bad enough, I'll pass out. If I'm eternal, how far does the pain go? The pain of separation as Jesus hung on the cross was eternal, and we can't understand that pain, can we? Because God has put limitations on us, so we can't. But the separation from God is something we don't understand, and we can only get a glimpse of it on the cross of Jesus Christ. My God, why have you forsaken me? What is the alternative to friendship with God? Second Thessalonians 1:9. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. Please read the rest of it. Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What is the penalty? Being away from him. These will pay the penalty of eternal separation, destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Do you even understand that? Do you even know what that could be like? being totally separate from Him. But most continue to do it their way. James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is what? Worthless. The dictionary definition of religion, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but noun, a set of beliefs. Two, a specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices. Three, a particular set of beliefs and practices. Guess what? All of us have religion. Do you know that? In fact, everybody in the world has religion. They have a certain set of beliefs and practices that they're following. That is why religion has been so disgusting to so many people. Because, as I've said before, religion is the reason why people, major reason why people treat each other poorly. It's their excuse. You're not doing what I think you should do? What am I going to do? Why? I'm going to say something about it. I'm going to make you feel bad because you don't believe the way I do. You're not going by my set of beliefs and practices. My set, my way. My way. Seventh-day Adventists are not always good at this. I remember at Andrews University sitting in a lecture by a doctor. You know what the doctor was telling everybody? He was saying, eating meat is a sin. He had a lot of writings from Ellen G. White. He had things from the Bible. He said, meat eating is sinful. And a young man in the back raised his hand. I'll never forget it. Way in the back, student raised his hand and said, didn't Jesus eat meat? You know what the doctor said? I'll never forget it. He said, well, Jesus didn't have all the light on health that we have today. I'll never forget it. Jesus did not have all the light on the health message that we have today. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh yeah, he was just the light of the world. I didn't say that, but I should have. And you know something? As Seventh-day Adventists, we have our own religion, don't we? And many times it's different. I hear people say, well, that's a sin. Well, it doesn't say in the Bible it's a sin. Well, I was raised this way, and it's a sin to me. And anything you think is a sin because it's a sin to you, and it goes on and on and on. You ever hear of calling sin by its right name? That's a whole other topic of thinking, calling sin by its right name. My father, Dad, if you'll come up here for a minute. My dad told me a story 2 weeks ago. I want him to share with you. You talk about the effects of doing religion your own way. I'd like Dad to share this story with you.
Does this work?
Yep, it works.
Is it on? Yeah, it's on.
I'll step aside.
Well, I was pastoring a church, and there was a young man in the church. His name was Ron. How's that? His name was Ron. Now, Ron came from parents. His mother was a very shy, painfully shy person. Ron grew up that way. He also grew up with a severe physical problem. Nobody knew why. He went to doctor after doctor, but he had excruciating pain in his mouth. Well, the doctors gave him pain medication to control it. It worked. But this was all addicting stuff. But he kept at it all his life. During his late high school years, he was at an evangelistic series, and he gave his heart to the Lord and was baptized. He went on rising in leadership in the church, but he was Ron. He was a very shy person. He never had a girlfriend in his life. He couldn't stand the thought of asking somebody for something like that. Shy. But he managed the pain by taking that pain medication. And sometimes it got so it just wasn't enough. He needed more of the pain medication. How did he solve his problem of friends? Well, before he became baptized, he went to a casino nearby. And they treated him real well. They were good to him. He had fun there. All of a sudden, life was good for him there. He won some, he lost a lot. He won some, he lost a lot. But he kept going to the casino. Then he was converted, but no one ever told him that going to that casino wasn't a good idea. And that was his out. Well, he went on to school. He became a medical lab tech, and he was one of the very best. But all through his years growing in the church, he longed for his parents. He prayed for them. He prayed for them. He witnessed to them. He talked to them. They were receptive. They loved Ron deeply. And he finally met a young woman, and they fell in love. She was good to him. He responded. They fell in love. They were talking about getting married. But he was addicted to this pain medication, and consequently, it came to the point he lost his job. She says, I want to marry you, but I can't until you can get a job and hold it. Now, here he was in pain, and the pain was increasing. The medication had cost him his job. There came a time when his parents, wooed by the Holy Spirit, gave their heart to the Lord, and they wanted to be baptized. I studied with them. It came a day for the baptism. And one other out besides the casino was his guitar, and he was good at it. But his singing was a kind of a twangy, half rock music type style. But he was good. In fact, for a while he worked for a Christian recording company with songs he wrote himself. But there were those in the church, men who had gone to school with him, same high school. They told him that guitar was the devil's instrument. He should lay it aside. It was the devil's instrument. He was going to casinos, and he was consumed with Satan. Well, when his parents came to be baptized, I asked Ron to lead the music for the baptism, and he did, but there were some who just turned their back on it because Ron had gone to casinos, and Ron was a drug addict. Well, I baptized his parents. It was a wonderful day. But when it came to discuss in the board their baptism, those same men who said his guitar was an evil instrument and he should burn it, by the way, because it was Satan's instrument, those same men objected to their baptism of his parents because they had gone to a casino with him. And I reasoned with them. I'll never forget what one of them said. He said, I don't care about them. I only care about the church. Think that through for a minute. It came the time when I baptized them and I brought them up to the front to have a vote of the church. I made sure that they kept their back to the church so they wouldn't see this body of people stand and vote against their membership. They were voted into membership. But time went on. Ron didn't give up his guitar. And he did. Nita and I went to his home. Again and again, we were on our knees with Ron, agonizing in prayer. Ron just sobbing on my shoulder. He wanted so badly to be healed of the pain. He wanted so badly to get his life in a happy mode. And he wept bitterly. And we reasoned with him. We talked to him. He said, I will never go to the casino again. I agreed now that it's wrong. But he couldn't give up that guitar. Why should he? It wasn't Satan's instrument. He had dedicated that guitar to God. And then came the trouble with his fiancée. She couldn't marry him until he could get a handle on this thing. He went to doctors again. They finally ran some tests. It was a thyroid problem. The thyroid was not secreting in a proper balance. They tried to achieve a balance. It only increased the pain. And Ron was beside himself. We prayed with him. We reasoned with him. We talked to his fiancée. We prayed with his parents. Then one night, I got a call about 11 o'clock at night. Come on down, we need you here. So we didn't know why. We got in the car and drove down. There was an ambulance there. But the ambulance was not to take a sick man to the hospital. Ron had put a gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger. But what did the people that opposed him in church say? It was all because he was the devil's agent. And so it was all for the best. Religion can do terrible things sometimes. By the way, those parents are still members. Need and I visit with them every week and pray with them. You can imagine the agony they went through.
Religion, a particular set of beliefs, we all have them. But some of them are not his way. Acts 25:19, but they simply had some points of disagreement about their own religion and about a dead man, Jesus, whom Paul asserted to be alive. Their own religion. Colossians 2:23. These are matters which have to be sure. The appearance of wisdom in what? Self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Self-made religion. We see it everywhere, don't we?
Rob, could I say one more
yes.
thing?
Yes.
I officiated at the funeral of Ron, and I said with confidence, I expect to meet Ron in the kingdom. What do you think?
We definitely wouldn't judge someone in that much pain. Okay. Isaiah 1:10-17. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give an ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed cattle. I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, and goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no more. No longer incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the solemn assembly. Is God as pleased as we are with what happened to Iran? I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. So when you spread your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Is all religion man-made? You know, I have always been negative to the word religion. I've always been, and Dad and I have gone round and round about that, haven't we, Dad? But it is true that religion isn't just a dirty word, although it is if you focus on it. In preparing for this sermon, I found 5 times religion is mentioned in the Bible. No, 6 times. 5 times is negative. But 1 time, let's read it. James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. How many ways are there? I'll give you a clue. 1. There is only 1 religion that's worthwhile. And guess what? It's associated with friendship with God. All of us are heading for a separation we don't understand. No created being has ever had to experience this separation except for Jesus. a separation even Satan has never experienced. I saw that strongly as I studied this week. Satan has never been separated from God the way Jesus was. Look at this. The wicked receive their recompense. Some are destroyed as in a moment, and others suffer many days. All are punished according to their deeds. The sins of the righteous having been transferred to Satan, he is made to suffer not only for his own rebellion, but for all the sins which he has caused God's people to commit. His punishment is to be far greater than that of those whom he has deceived. After all have perished who fell by his deceptions, he is still to live and suffer on. In the cleansing flames, the wicked are at last destroyed. I had a sermon once which made more sense than anything to me. We picture God as taking a fire and just roasting everybody. And the more you've sinned, the longer he keeps that little flame going under you, right? He's going to toast you as long as your punishment is. And guess what? That's the way the devil wants us to think of God. Flames don't always mean fire. Flames mean judgment. And the sermon I heard went like this. At the end of time, after the millennium, everyone is gathered, and God says, I died so that all can live for eternity. You know that's in Scripture? And he says to everyone, okay, here's what you've chosen. You've chosen to do it your way. You can live now for eternity alone and separate from God. And that is such a horrible thing, it's even worse than fire. Because we don't even understand it. If God was to totally separate, we can't live with each other, can we? We're all alone, totally separate from God. And each person says this, I don't want this, please end it. And those that are the most selfish hold on for the longest. And after everybody is asked, destroy me, and the fires consume you instantly, there's a devil. Not giving in, not giving up. And finally, he says, I've had enough. I don't like what I've chosen. And he bows down and worships God as he's destroyed. Even Satan doesn't understand the separation that Jesus went through for you and me. The flames do not punish, but they cleanse. In the cleansing flames, the wicked are destroyed. Not the punishment. What is the punishment? Separation. The penalty is the consequence. From Christ's Object Lessons, page 84. God what? God destroys no man. Everyone who is destroyed will have what? Everyone who stifles the admission of conscience is sowing the seed of unbelief, and these will produce a sure harvest. God destroys no man. We're doing it to ourselves. You want to do it on your own? Go ahead. We're told where that's leading. Separation from God, separation from each other, a separation that we don't understand. But we know by looking at Christ what the results will be. You have a choice, love and friendship with God, or what? Doing it your own way. That's the alternative to friendship with God, doing it your way. One way leads to life and love. The other leads to loneliness and separation that we don't understand. We'll serve the Lord. My prayer is that each one of us in this congregation today will realize the results of doing it your way and give it up to Him. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, thank you for offering us your friendship. Thank you so very much for offering us your love. We don't have it, but you offered it to us freely. Please come into each heart here today. Fill us with your love. Help us to follow you every step of the way. We pray these things in your name. Amen.